Well, you can take your Bibles tonight and you can go to Psalm 103. We're going to start in verse 1. And the title of tonight's teaching is Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. And we're going to look at what it means to live a life that's full of thanks. In Psalm 103, in verse 1, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and remember all of his benefits." No?
Forget not all his benefits.
That's right. Forget not all his benefits. And we have a lot to be thankful for in this life. So much so, in fact, that God doesn't ask us to remember all his benefits. That would be a monumental task. There's just so many benefits that to be able to remember every single one of them, I don't know if we'd be able to do it. So he kindly asks us not to forget them all, right? Not to forget all of them. And thankful living is really just an acknowledgement of God's benefits, right? So as long as we can remember some of God's benefits, we'll find it easy to live a thankful life. The word thanks in the Hebrew is yada. Y-A-D-A-H, or yada. I like to think of it as yada, 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 right? Lots of thanks. But yada's first usage is in 2 Samuel 22. So that's where we're going to go. We're going to go to 2 Samuel 22. So if anyone ever says to you, yada, 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 you can remember that they're just really thankful. Second Samuel 22, verse 1. We'll start in verse 1. It says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of who? Saul." Now, Saul was his enemy also, but he was a frenemy. He was sometimes his friend. So he gets special mention here because all of his enemies were really enemies. But Saul, he was sometimes a friend and sometimes an enemy. So these are the words of this song to the Lord. And if we're going to jump to 50 real quick just to get the context, or towards the end of the chapter, it says, "Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord." And that is the first usage. That is yada. It is thanks. "I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name." And that therefore refers to all the things that David enumerates previously in this chapter, in this song of praise. Right? So therefore, because of all the things that we'll look at, David gives thanks, and that's the first usage. So let's go back to verse 2. Verse 2, he said, "And he said," so this is his song, "and he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer," right? And those are things that we can be really thankful for, right? God is our rock, our fortress, and our deliverer too. "The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence." So it says, "The God of my rock, in him will I trust." Right? And we know that trusting God is believing, right? Trusting is believing. If you trust something, you believe it. If somebody says something and you trust that person with what they're saying, you believe what they're saying, right? So God is a God that we can believe in, right? That we can have believing in our Father. And he's our high tower, our refuge, and our Savior. And he saves us from violence, right? We can count on God for protection, for wholeness, right? That's salvation, for wholeness, for safety, and for deliverance, right? Those are a lot of things to be thankful for. Those are great benefits. Verse 4, I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death compassed me or surrounded me, the floods of ungodly men made me what? Afraid. Right? David was honest here. There were times when he was running for his life and he was surrounded by enemies and he was afraid. Verse 5, the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me, surrounded me about, the snares of death prevented me. Those are terrible situations. But in verse 7, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Right? So David faced hordes of ungodly men who wanted to kill him. Right? He faced Saul, who was his friend, and who betrayed him and tried to kill him. Right? And when we're afraid or we're heartbroken, because you can imagine that David was heartbroken about that situation too, right? Saul was his friend. So when we're afraid or we're heartbroken, God hears us, right? He hears our cry. When we cry out to God for help, he doesn't ignore us or he's not absent. He hears us, and we can be thankful for that. And then in verses 8 through 20, there's this beautiful picture of God's response to David's crying out. God's response to his kid being in trouble, right? Someone that he cared about, right? When his kids are in trouble, that's you and me. This is God's response. It says, "And the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the heaven moved and shook because he was wroth." He was angry that David, his friend, was in trouble. "There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth, devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. And he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared, and the foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils." Right? So he's painting this picture of God just being so angry and coming to his defense, right? That like the sea was parting and that earthquakes were happening and the very like foundations of the world were discovered, meaning the earth was opening up at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. Verse 17, "He sent from above and took me and drew me out of many waters," right? Out of an unsafe place. He was just plucked out. David was delivered by God. Verse 18, "He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me. For they were too strong for who? For David." Were they too strong for God? No, right? And so that's who he put his trust in. It was too strong for him, but it was not too strong for God. Verse 19, "They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay." The Lord is the one who took care of him. The Lord is the one who protected him. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Right? And this is going to be God's response to us, his kids being in trouble. Right? God will be there to protect us and to take care of us. If things are too big or too overwhelming for us, they're not too big or too overwhelming for God. All we have to do is what David did in verse 7. Cry out to God. Call upon the Lord. And that will be his response. And that's a lot to be thankful for. Verse 25. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my what?
Righteousness.
According to my cleanness in his eyesight. Right? And according to 2 Corinthians 5:21, we're as righteous as who?
Good.
That's right. We're as righteous as God. Right? So we are, if God repaid him or recompensed him according to his righteousness, we're as righteous as God. We don't need to live in condemnation. We don't need to live in a place where we're not good enough. Right? We should never think that we're not good enough for God to want to take care of us or help us. Right? We're as righteous as God is. That's a lot to be thankful for. Verse 29. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my what?
Darkness.
And I thought that was really cool, that God will lighten our darkness. And we can think about it in both a, you know, a dark in terms of like a heavy period, right? A heavy point in our life. We know where there's just a weight to it, that he will lighten our load and he'll lighten the weight. And also like a dark or confusing time or period, right? Where we can't see the solution on our own. Like it's too dark for us to even see a way out, right? That God will be the lamp, that he will be the one who lightens our situation for us, right? That's who God is. He will lighten our darkness. Verse 30. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God I have leaped over a wall. Right? It was by God that he was able to do these things. He was able to face that troop. He was able to leap over walls. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried or tested or sure. He is a buckler or a shield to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Right? Who's God except for God himself? And who is a rock except our God? God is my strength and power, and he makes my way perfect. Right? God is the one. Talk about benefits. He's our strength. He's our power. He's our certainty. Right? That's great benefits in our lives. There's plenty of stuff that we can't do on our own. But with God, we are successful. With God, he makes our way perfect. And then verse 34. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my what?
High
places, right? And a hind is a female deer, right? And the illustration here is that the female deer will find her way up very steep, rocky cliffs. They're a very sure-footed animal. And they're known to put their feet in those places where they know they'll have strong footing. And then the fawn, the baby deer, will follow the mother up those steep-sided cliffs, and they'll put their feet right where the hind's feet were, right where those sure-footed steps took place. And so the child who's following just has to do exactly what the mother's doing, go exactly where she's stepping, and can be absolutely sure that the path will be stable for her because the footing is sure. And when we're on with the integrity and the accuracy of God's word, when we're doing what God wants us to do, right? Our feet are like hinds feet. He makes our way perfect. Every step we take, we know we're not going to slip, or we're not going to stumble, we're not going to fall down into the ravine, because he makes our feet like hinds feet, right? And how thankful we can be to know that we're secure in our walk when it's lined up with God and with his word. And not only that, but it says that we end up where? Upon high places. Upon high places. That we're going to be at the top. We're going to be blessed. We're going to be successful. Right? That where that path ultimately leads will be a place where we're blessed and we're happy. We can jump back down to verse 50 again. It says, therefore, right, because of all these things that we read, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. Right? So that's the first usage. And in context, it's a lot. It's a lot of stuff. Right? That God is our fortress, our rock, our deliverer. That God is somebody that we can believe and trust in and know that he is sure, that we can count on him for wholeness and safety and deliverance, right? That we don't have to be afraid, that God will deliver us and fight for us, you know, in those difficult situations, that we're righteous, that we don't have to walk around condemned, that God will lighten our darkness, right? He'll take the load off of us. He'll show us the right way to go, that he's our strength, our power, our certainty, and that our steps and our walk will be sure as we walk according to that word. Go to Romans chapter 1. So we can live a life of thanksgiving when we don't forget those benefits. You know, if we can remember just some of those benefits, we're going to be really, really blessed. And the more that we can remember, the more blessed we'll be. The more promises that we claim in the word, the more blessed we'll be and the more thankful we'll be. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Where are we going to go next? Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. It says, for the invisible things of him, meaning of God, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen. Which is kind of a funny thing to think about. The invisible things of God are clearly seen. Well, that's not what invisible is it? But the invisible things of God, you can't see God, but from the creation of the world and all the things that he put here, you can see the magnificence of God and what he's created, right? And the things that are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, right? And that's us. God made us. And we can just take a look around and see all the incredible things that God made for us, right? Like, it was 65 degrees this weekend, and I was just so blessed to be in the sun, which God made for me, and the fresh air. And I could hear the birds out and chirping again. And all these cool things that God makes for us, that we can just take a look around and see God's handiwork. So being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, meaning he's at the top, right? That he is the creator. His eternal power is evident in everything that's just around us. And then it says, so that they, meaning his creation, the things that he made, are without what? Excuse. Right? And then it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They didn't glorify him. And that word glorify is to recognize, to honor, or to celebrate. You know, so there are people that don't believe in God, that don't believe God is real, don't believe God is at the center of all of this. You know, and they are, as the word says, without excuse. Because just if you just take a look around and see all of this magnificent stuff, this world that we stand on, this sky that we get to look up into, right? where else could it have come from but God? So it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They didn't recognize him or give him the credit. Neither were what?
Thankful.
And that's an interesting thing to think about, right? So here you have, you know, people who don't recognize what God has done for them, or what he's put into place, what he's created, the fact that he created them in the first place. And God says that they, in not recognizing any of that, they're not what? Thankful. They're not thankful. Right? So their life is not a life of thanks living, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what?
Fools.
Right? And so, right, you think about people who want to explain away the entire world with the Big Bang or science or this or that, and God is saying, it's all just vain imaginations. It's all just, you know, trying to come up with some other thing to worship or thing to, you know, prop up other than God. Other than God. And they think they're so smart, professing them to be wise, but they became fools, right? Because ultimately they're not thankful. Ultimately they're not as blessed as they could be, recognizing all of God's benefits. Verse 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. You know, speaking of all of the different idols that the Romans had, right? So they became as fools, propping up all this other stuff, whether it was a man or a beast or a bird or whatever the image they were choosing to use. That's what they were worshiping instead. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God to a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Right? And so people who reject God are simply not thankful for the results, right? For the results that God has given to them freely. And the result of not being thankful and doing this aren't good, right? They're not blessed. They're given over to the uncleanness of, through the lust of their own heart, dishonoring their own bodies, right? They changed the truth of God to a lie. They forgot all about the benefits of God, right? They forgot all about the benefits of God. And it's not a life of thanksgiving. Go to John chapter 11. And there's lots of places in the Word where, you know, man, even good, well-meaning men, you know, whether it's the children of Israel or other folks, they try to do stuff for God, right? David wanted to do stuff for God. Solomon wanted to build him a temple, all this stuff. And God's just like, I don't need you to do anything for me. I just want you to acknowledge me and to love me and to be thankful, right? That's what God really wants from our lives. He's not looking for us to try to do anything, to try to work our way up to him, because we can't, right? We can't. God's like, he says in one section, he's like, if you're going to, you know, build me an altar, just make it out of dirt, right? Just make it out of dirt. And he's like, and if you really want to make it out of stone because you don't like the dirt altar, then just pile a bunch of rocks together. Like, don't actually cut the stone and make it nice looking, because then you'll think you did something for it, right? God doesn't, you know, that's not what he's looking for. He's not looking for us to build towers to him or anything. He just wants us to be thankful and to acknowledge him and to love him. John 11, verse 41. Just make me a dirt altar. I think that's pretty cool. John 11, 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast what?
Heard
me. Right? And this is where he's raising Lazarus from the dead. Jesus Christ was thankful that God heard him, that when he talked to God, that God was there listening, that he had a relationship with his heavenly Father, his actual Father in this case. And I knew, verse 42, I knew, I was sure that thou hearest me always, all of the time. God hears us all of the time. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. It's like the only reason I'm even saying this out loud is just for other people's benefits, so that they can see that I talk to you and walk with you. Because I knew you would hear me. I didn't have to actually say it out loud even, right? But we can be thankful that God hears us. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. We can be just so very thankful that we have access to God. That when we talk to God, he hears us. That we don't have to go find some other person to talk to God on our behalf. Right? But that we have direct access to the Father. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God. The grace of God is something to be thankful for. Right? God's unmerited divine favor. And whenever we need more grace, there's always more grace. Right? As soon as you run out of grace, there's more grace. That's how big God's grace is. Just when you think it's all gone, there's more grace. You can screw up so bad and God still loves you. There's always more grace. Isn't that something to be thankful for? Go to 1 Corinthians 14. These are just some cool benefits of God, right? We're just looking at things that are benefits of God. And as long as we don't forget all of them completely, then we have something to be thankful for. And then we can remember some other stuff and some other stuff. And then we're living a life of thanksgiving. And we're blessed. 1 Corinthians 14:18. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Right? This was Paul writing by revelation. But we can be thankful that we can speak in tongues, that we have Holy Spirit, and that we can manifest it whenever we want. Whenever we want. At any moment, we can just stop and speak in tongues, right? Whatever it is we're doing, we don't have to, like, you know, set the mood, get in a specific place. We don't have to check the time. We can just speak in tongues. So we can be so thankful that we can manifest whenever we want supernatural power, that we can pray perfectly whenever we want in any situation. If we just get that feeling like something's up, boom, we can speak in tongues and we can pray perfectly. That's pretty awesome. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. You also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Right? So we can be thankful that there's other people out there praying for us and that we can pray for each other. Right? We can pray for one another and help each other in prayer. And we can be thankful that there's other people praying for us too. Right? Because prayer is such a big deal. It really helps our lives and it really allows us to help other people when maybe there's nothing else we can do. Or we have no idea what else to do, but we can pray. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. And we can be thankful that we're a part of this body and there's people praying for us. Ephesians 5, verse 20. Giving thanks, how often?
Always.
Always. For how much?
All things.
For all things. Unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that's thanks living in one verse. That we're giving thanks all of the time for all of the stuff. Right? Just always. That's what an attitude to have in life, right? That we're always giving thanks to God for all of the wonderful things that He's blessed us with. We're going to close in Colossians chapter 3. Could have closed there, but Colossians 3, verse 12. That verse sums up the teaching. But in Colossians chapter 12, chapter 3, verse 12, we have some more benefits here. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, that's a great benefit, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, or the love of God, which is the bond of perfectness, that perfectly joins us together. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And that's the thing about, the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be what?
Thankful.
And that's the thing about being thankful, right? When we're really thankful, the peace of God will rule in our hearts, right? It'll just be there. We'll be peaceful. We won't be negative. We won't be down, because we'll be thankful, right? And that's what God wants us to do, to give thanks always in all things.